Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, Lord. I pray, God, that you would come and meet with us, be with us, God. I pray that you would wash away any distraction, Father. I just pray that we would be able to hear your voice clear at this time. And I just thank you, God, that the epistles and just Romans, just like all of them, just feeling really attracted into there. In that region, a dead book, but where I ended up in was Philippians. So we're going to start. We're going to go through Philippians.
Nice.
Yeah. Philippians is a powerful book. Very impactful in my life, just especially going through Teen Challenge. They were kind of encouraging us to find a life verse, you know, a verse that, you know, God would speak to you through. And I found mine in Philippians, and so it was kind of just like a big, just a great starting point, starting out that journey from in there, and then out being out there. It's just constantly ringing in my ear. Jesus is constantly visiting me and whispering Philippians 1:6. But I'm gonna start from the beginning. But we'll get there eventually. And another thing, I think. The reason I was in so much epistle is because Paul wrote them, Paul the Apostle, and he was just a zealous man of God and just desired to do God's will. And I think there's a lot we can learn, and one of them ways being his letters written to different churches and groups of people. So I just think there's a lot there, and they're meaty, they're intimidating, they're scary to even dive into those. But I'm going to try. Man, I'm a frail, lowly man. So we're gonna try it, and hopefully you guys don't crucify me if I don't do a good job. To all the saints of Christ who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that was my life verse, that I'm constantly being encouraged by, ministered to. You know, just any kind of verses that we could write on our heart is important. We could have downloaded so God could prick that and bring it to our remembrance. And that's one. You know, as I was laying in the beds in Teen Challenge, sick as a dog, not knowing how I got here again, and just feeling defeated, you know, finding myself in the same muck again, and just wanting to give up. And God would bring me that verse and remind me where I have worked. He visited me, and how he did open my eyes, and all these things, and even in the midst of that distress and that turmoil, you know, I was able to say, you know, I'm going to trust you, you're going to get me through that, and this, and he did. And here I am today, and still breathing, which is a miracle, you know, because I shouldn't be here and alive with everything that I've been through, and God is good and gracious and just so merciful to just be able to give me those words. I'm thankful that he's a merciful, gracious God, because if there was even a few humans in that position, you know, I wouldn't have been ministering. They probably wouldn't have been ministering to me in that place. Just that up, you know, we get fed up and exhausted, but God is so long suffering. He is patient. He's everything we're not and more. And he can be trusted, and he knows where I was gonna be, yet he still chose to call me and give me that invitation, knowing years down the road I would have failed him. And he knew it was all part of allowing that. He allowed that all to be a part of his plan to get me to a place to really be used in a place of just surrender. And just he wants to use us, and he will allow the world's elements to break us to get us to that place. So we're ready to be used and ready to yield, because it's all for Him and His glory. Mm. And so, you know, wherever anybody has been, God can use it. You know, what the enemy meant for evil and to destroy us, you know, God has meant it for the good. You know, He's going to use it for good. Whatever it may be, the worst places we have been are thinking no one could relate or emphasize. Someone can, you know. You might have been in a place where, and be able to minister to someone where some people can't. Us humans, we're guarded. We put walls up. We put this facade and these smiles on. But there's hurting people out there. There's a lot of different backgrounds and places they come from that they need someone that has gone through it and has raised up. And I'm not just talking about addictions, you know, any type of whatever it may be. Divorce, the list is endless. Wherever the Spirit is pricking on your mind or heart that this hurt, no one could relate to this hurt. This is my hurt. It's unique. No, there is people. And He wants to use that strength that He's given to you so you could pour into other people and courage and strength. And so that was my life verse, and I would encourage you to find one and to tap into that. You know, that promise of God that He's delivered you specifically, which the whole word is, but this is one just strikes me, especially when I need it. You know, just going through this week was tough. If I could be just open and vulnerable, you know, it was my anniversary for my wedding day, and so that was definitely messed me up going through this week, and it was tough, and it's just a spiritual time, you know. If we don't know, there's an attack on marriages, you know. Let's look into the spiritual realm a little bit. The enemy hates it, the fact that one person will want to lay their life down for the other person. He wants to ruin it. That's the most selfless thing that someone could do outside of, you know, living for Christ. And He wants to disqualify it. He wants to distort it. He wants to break it down, and he's been doing a fine job. And I want to stand up and say, you know, let's take our marriages back. Mm-hmm. Let's pray for that. You know, those spiritual demonic realms that are trying to destroy marriages, and expose it. Mm-hmm. Point at it for what it is. You know, we do not wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. You know, there's different realms outside of the physical that we don't see, and he's raging, he's warring against it. And so we need to be in battle. We need to put that armor God on and get ready to duke it out. And it takes a lot of surrendering, not only to just God, but to that the other person that we have been married to. And so, and let's move on, Mary. Just number 7. Just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, and as much as both in my chains and defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace. For God is my witness how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. Now this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense. Something else tricked me. I was looking up this. I thought I always knew what discernment was. I think I was kind of wrong. I thought it was like being able to, like, what I thought was discernment was actually like a word of knowledge and something that is out of the physical that God was actually hitting you with about something or someone or a situation. And it's actually rational understanding, you know. And He was encouraging them to have this rational understanding and this discernment. And so I kind of want to just point that out for my own self. I thought that was interesting, until the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole Pell's guard, and to all the rest that in my chains are in Christ. So here's Paul. He's writing in his chains, and he's saying this for the furtherance. You know, this is it's powerful for someone to say, to be able to see the good out of this bad thing that's happening and say it's for the better. It's for the furtherance, you know. And as he goes on, having been confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So if he would have gotten in chains and would have, you know, been cowardly and defeated and not have been just ecstatic, realizing, you know, there's so much more than this. He's saying people were actually speaking out and being able to be more bold and confident because they seen all that he had gone through. You know, he's in chains and yet he's not even rocked by it. And it was actually stirring people up to say, you know, let's step into that. Let's be bold too. You know, if he's able to get through that, then so am I. Versus the other way, if he would have been cowardly and just folded under that pressure and fell into depression or whatever it may be, some people would have been like, oh, no, this is dangerous. This is just preaching the word of God is no good. Let's run. And I think we can learn a lesson from there that people are going to see your courage going through certain situations and to stand strong in that and mm-hmm. when opposition comes against you. So people are watching and they're going to be encouraged by that, you know, that, wow, he got through that storm or mm-hmm. wow, that happened. And he's still able to find joy. And going on, I want to get to this because there's a lot of speak the word. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from good will. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife is interesting, you know, and it just shows the content in the heart, like what is their motive behind it, you know? Just rang in my mind and in my heart, like, just to not be just strifeful. And it kind of just made me think of, like, these ones that just want to maybe have a debate and stuff, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm an evolutionist around this, and they want to just battle it out on stage, you know? It's like, I don't know. I don't know if that's even that fruitful, personally. I think, you know, because they're already set in their minds in ways you're not going to sway them. I don't ever seen someone say, well, you're right. You know, it's cool to step up, but in that way, I think it just causes more, and I think they're doing it out of just pride versus really concern of, wow, you know, listen, man, you're going to hell if you continue to go that way. But having that audience, I don't really feel that that's going to be really productive, because they're already going with that intent. Unless the Holy Spirit just drops, you know, mm-hmm. and brings them to their knees, I don't think it's going to be fruitful, because they're going in with this, I need to prove this out to myself and these guys. So there's, you know what I mean? Versus someone that wants to hear and listen and maybe going on the sideline or, you know, privately, where they're able to let their guards down a little more, you know? We're, as humans, we put our guards up. And so especially in that situation to have like a huge debate, I just don't see it being very godly at all. The former preach Christ through selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness and always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. So he's nothing he shall be ashamed. And then something that kind of just triggers in me, like, what is there that we could be ashamed about, you know? Whatever it may be. He's saying his chains, so the circumstance that he was in, he had to be ashamed. What about past things that maybe you have done, you know? And sure, there might be a little bit shame in there. But he's saying, no, there, you shouldn't have no shame in there. If you truly have that concept that God don't see it and it's covered by the blood of Jesus, there's nothing to be ashamed about, you know? And actually, there's power in that testimony because of that deliverance and that freedom. And he say, God wants to now use it to bring other people to deliverance, to proclaim the power of his blood over people because of the victory it has, what it has done in your life. So now, also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit of my, from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to part and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of the faith. And this is what I was excited to get to. So Paul is saying, and you know, we get in that mindset, I do all the time, you know, God, just take me now, you know what I'm saying, take me now, I'm ready to come home. And I think Paul is hitting home something here, because it was, I think, if you go on, he's saying, you know, far better to go with Christ, you know, but to stay here is more needful. And so he's tapping this, you know, the walk with Paul, you know, he was hungry to preach the gospel and to see people delivered and free and to experience eternal life. And he's saying, like, through all this labor, it's like he's close. It's almost like he's giving us a peek in where he's close to Jesus' heart right here to be able to minister to other people. Otherwise, why is it so close? You know, he's torn between the two. Well, torn, that's an easy decision for me, you know what I'm saying? But it's not for him. And why? Because it's close to Jesus' heart. He's more close to Jesus' heart and staying and being able to minister to people to where it's almost kind of close to even dying and being with Christ. Mm. And it's hard to wrap your head, head around that. And when I got hit with that, I was deeply convicted. Because I don't feel that way, and I don't act that way. And I get in my head at times and get low on to feeling sorry for myself or whatever it may be, which I'm sure I'm not alone. But to look at and to examine Paul's life here, which I think will be cool to going in and through that, If you just study that one piece there, like he's saying he's pressed, he's hard pressed. Let me read it again. Alright. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. And we know that fruit is not fruit. He's not saying that as he's laboring here in the flesh of fruit of material wealth. You know, we know that Paul's life was not very, I mean, he didn't have mansions here on earth. The fruit of his flesh was eternal. His riches and were going into heaven. You know, he had that mindset of what life was really about. To live is Christ, you know. So what is our living, what are we living for? You know, he ties it right to is Christ. So we could examine that in our lives. I think it would be healthy. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed on between the two. So he's not going, and I've read this earlier on in my, you know, walk with Jesus, and I was like, is he contemplating suicide here? And I was kind of thinking that's what it was sounded like, you know, just being open. But God is good, because I think I got a little insight of what he was saying. He was really trying to compare the two. For I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. Like, that's a high thing, a high, you know, to be, you know, that's what we're living for. Our hope is in glory. We have an anticipation to be with Jesus for eternity. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you, and being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for your progress and joy of the faith. So that was heavy, you know? Like, he's comparing going on and being with the Lord to needing to stay here and minister to people, helping them to carry out their faith and the progress. And it's like, where does he get in that? It was kind of confusing, you know? And I think it's because it's close to Jesus' heart already, you know? Souls is where... is what Jesus came and sacrificed and laid his life down for. He died for the lost, the hurting. He wanted to reconcile us. So to be a part of that reconciliation, to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus Christ is the closest thing here on earth we can get to be in heaven with Jesus Christ for eternity. That's heavy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if you want to experience Jesus a little more here, I think we got a little bit of insight here, and that is to share Jesus to those lost and hurting souls that are wandering here. You might find yourself tapping into the joy of the Lord while doing that. Let's practice that. Mm-hmm. You know, I have experienced that as well. I'm Richard, you're an evangelist. I'm sure you touched, you know. You probably are fired up, you know, and just overwhelmed with joy after, you know, really... evangelizing, because it's so close to Jesus' heart. You know, he died for us. And I think this is where Paul's leading. You know, he's not in a place of just like, I want to die when I'm here. I need to be with you. It's for your guys' progress. No, he's like, I want to be with the Lord. You know, that's obvious. I want this. This is a lot of laboring, but it's close to God's heart.
Yeah.
To be pushing on for you. So I think I hit that, you know. Verse 26, I'm not sure where I said, that you're rejoicing for me. Oh, no, let's go back. So, yeah, all right, yeah, 20. That you're rejoicing for me, maybe more abundant in Jesus Christ by the coming to you again. Verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you, or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and not in any way terrified by your adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. So he's like, he's encouraging them with this letter to stand strong, you know. There's a lot of attack on the scripture, on the gospel, and he's saying push on with that, you know. There early on we know that there was a lot of the enemy was at hard at work trying to stop this from moving forward, and people were having this. So he's encouraging them to push on, you know, push on, strive together for the faith of the gospel. You know, the faith we have, our faith, our trust is in this gospel. You know, that's that living hope. That's where eternity is held, you know, in this truth of Jesus Christ, the shed blood, and for the remissions of our sins. And people were laying their lives down, and not in any way be terrified of your adversaries. Adversaries, which is to them a proof of perdition, which is a state of eternal punishment. You know, we have a state of our mind that we have in our mind, our hearts, we eternity is written on it. You know, we deep down inside know we were created for more. And whether it's for glory or there's, we're going to get into more chapters where it talks about, you know, stop there. To you, it's like, to you, of salvation, and that is from God. For to you, it has been granted on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here is in me. And so, you know, and that's a hard thing to grasp and comprehend, that we would suffer because we're for the gospel and for the cause of Christ, because we're so comfortable in America. You know, we're driven by making things more comfortable. You know, we sink to the floor on our beds and we're miserable.
Literally.
In your bed.
You know, and we gotta get checked. Sometimes we gotta get put in check of how just our desire for comfort could really start to rise up. And God is good. He'll throw us little jabs. And probably giggling up there as we turn. It's like taking a little sucker from a child, you know, that already has a stomach ache and are like screaming for more. I want more sugar, but their stomach's like hurting. It's like, come on, you know, sometimes we gotta get, he's probably giggling up there, you know, because this comfort is destroying us. It's not giving us more peace. I think we're seeing and even can even experience that so much. That's comfort, and that's all it is. It's just comfort, but it's not where the joy is. And I think we've seen that earlier in there, that where does this joy come from? Well, first, we gotta experience Christ, you know? And then we gotta move on to close to God and Jesus' heart, and that is by sharing His Son. And then I think we will press in to that joy that we are longing for. I know this is kind of a mess, guys, I'm sorry. You know, like I said, my mind was a little off, and one thing that the enemy would have loved for me to do is just roll over and die. But that ain't gonna happen, you know. I'm gonna try to push on, and though it might sound ridiculous, and that's okay. So, you know, I need humility at times, and I just want to live for Christ, and whatever that means, and I'm just gonna try, and I'm not perfect, and I hope you guys could just love me anyways. And so, hopefully, you know, Dad had my back over there with a little something.
I like him. He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion.
Yes.
You remember that song?
He who began a good work in you.
I like the comparison that he made, because I've read through this before. I think in certain seasons, the Holy Spirit will only reveal certain parts about it to you, so that later in life, when you're deeper, you'll explain a deeper revelation out of the same book, you know, that you read three times before.
It's funny you mention that. There's those two extremes, like when you're in the lowest of low, it's like, okay, God, this is a great time, you know. But sometimes when you're in the highest of high, like somebody just got saved, and it's just like, you don't care. You just step into heaven right now. You really, you're that high on the kingdom of God and what's going on, and that somebody got saved, and as somebody was sharing about that, you know, you really touched the joy of the Lord. You're so saturated with the joy of the Lord, you really don't care. If you step, the next step was right into the kingdom of heaven. There won't be any fear at all. You're absolutely fearless on those times.
Yep.
Kind of see it on both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
Eternal power in Godhead. That they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of an incorruptible God into an image.
I like how you pointed out earlier that sharing Christ with people is his heart, and that's how he, you know, close to him. He's comparing it to being with him. I thought that was weird. I've never seen that before. Thank you.
Yeah, that's kind of what I've been kind of like focusing on here from 7 through 11, where if you can get to that point where have that for other people. This is my prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of sight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and be pure and blameless in the day of Christ. And you want that in yourself, but he's saying, I want that for you, and that's what we should want for other people. I'd like to get to that point.
Well, one thing that stood out to me, and everybody's been touching upon it already, about the idea of it being better to live for Christ. That's like one of the odd things I had to cope with or understand when I was first like reading this stuff. It's like you have to die first to live. It's like really odd, but I really liked it. And the idea of living for Christ, I really like that idea of, you know, even though as much as everybody wants to go to heaven already, that's like our initial, you know, first priority, our objective is to be up in heaven, but you always gotta think about, you know, the other unsaved people as well. But you touched upon that, so.